Good evening.
Mm-hmm.
So this evening, we'll just continue with our series. And today we're looking at gospel character. I thought about this and the many ways that we could come and have a sharing about this. And I thought I could come here and give you a presentation, you know, 200 do's and don'ts about how to live, you know, a devoted gospel type of life in 2019. But then it's not going to really help us anything. So what is gospel character? My understanding was that gospel character was, or is, the character of a person who is a devoted disciple of Christ. Someone who has received Jesus and seeks to follow Jesus or follow Christ and lives their life as a disciple of Christ. So this is the character of such a person. So this is what we're talking about. And as we look a little bit at the series, we find that Paul continues talking to the Galatians, arguing about, you know, we started off, especially in Galatians 3, it says, you started off in the Spirit. We got saved in the Spirit, and therefore the best thing would have been for them to continue walking in the Spirit and continue with the Spirit, because it was not by observing the law that they received this salvation. The salvation that they had come to them through the Spirit and through faith in what they heard about what Christ had done for them. So he's putting forward and continuing with this argument even as we come to this now. So gospel character. How can we live a life that is possessed of biblical or gospel character? So I just thought, where does this come from? If I'm saying that we can't say, let's update, you know, the characteristics of a person that lives a gospel type of life, if we're not going to do that, then what are we going to talk about? What is it that helps us have that type of character that shows that we are the temple of the living God? So I thought we would go a little bit back to what were the scriptures that they had at the time when Paul was actually preaching to them and presenting them with the gospel. So if you can keep your Bibles with you, and then let's maybe take a little tour back. Ezekiel 36. So this is a time in Ezekiel is a prophet, so he's prophesying to the nation of Israel. And in these days, they were obviously following the Mosaic law or the law of Moses. This was the way that they reached out to God, or this was the way that they modeled that godly character. So he says to them, I'm going to start reading from 26. Maybe let's start from 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. So this is the word of the Lord coming to these people of Israel as they followed the law of Moses to seek justification, or as a way to justify their lives before the Lord. And he is telling them of a time when he will change the covenant. He says, I will remove your heart of stone and put a flesh heart, or give you a heart of flesh. And then he says, see, this is now talking about something that's not external, but something that is internal. It was something that wasn't going to be something that they just did without heart. But now, rather than observing and being justified by what they did on the external, they would now be justified by what they did internally. The motivating factor would now be from inside out, rather than from outside, and hopefully inside as well. So he says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. So in that covenant, it wasn't the Holy Spirit who was pushing people to do the will of God and to live a life that was worthy of their calling. But it was them that just tried. Everybody just tried to observe these laws on the outside so that maybe they might actually be able to reach out to God and live that life and model the character of a people of God. So it was all based on what? On external factors. Then I'll read another verse from Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. 31. I'll start from 31. We've probably just read these scriptures in the past as well. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So, again here, God foretells a time when he is going to change the way how his people worship him. That he was going to put the Spirit of God inside of them. He will do a new covenant. So in this way, what is God saying? There's a lot of mention of the Holy Spirit and the work that the Spirit does in us to help us to come to a point when we can actually model that character that God would like to see, or that God requires of us, that Christ-like character. So where does it come from? It's internal, it's not self-engineered, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works within us to help us come to repentance, to faith, as Paul was saying to the Galatians, that you started off in the Spirit. When they received Jesus, it wasn't because they were so good externally. It wasn't because they followed the law to the letter. But it was because they heard the message of how they could not save themselves in the way that they were doing by following the law. They could not find justification that way. So it was because of what they heard, how Christ had come and taken their place, or our place, and died so that we would then be able to have that reconciliation with God through grace. So that was how they had received their faith. And from faith comes submission also by the Spirit. And he indwells us, and we get baptized because we are led. The unction that helps us to get baptized also comes from the Holy Spirit. He also helps us to live a life that is separated, that we are set apart for God's purpose. It's not by our own effort. It's not something that we then do afterwards, which is what Paul was sort of presenting to the Galatians. We start off in the Spirit, we accept God through the Spirit, but then what happened after that was that they then stopped following the Spirit and the message of Christ and walking by faith in the Spirit. They started trying to live this life of covenant according to how they thought they should live. Sometimes it may not even be because they were trying to follow the Ten Commandments. Sometimes, especially in our world today, it might be that we've made for ourselves a set of rules. You know, if I do this, if I don't do that, if I make sure, and we make this new set of rules, and those rules end up becoming the code for how we see ourselves getting the justification and ourselves seeing this new life, what Christ has made for us. It is not to be the way that we actually continue walking in the Spirit. In other words, we should never stop looking to the Holy Spirit. We should never stop seeking the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who started the walk, and it is Him that will complete the walk. We were never really meant to live a spiritual life or to be able to show godly character by ourselves without God. Because it says, without me, you can do nothing. And He's not just talking about people who aren't saved. He's not talking about people who are not disciples. He said this to His own disciples, the people that had been with Him for such a long time. And He says to them, without me, you can do nothing. See, you should be grafted. Stay in the vine as the branches. Because if we stayed in the vine, we would then be able to bear much fruit. We can't then, after having been grafted in the vine and having borne some fruit, decide now that, oh, okay, I can now flourish on my own, and then we branch and go our own way and expect that we will continue to model and produce good fruit, because it's not possible to produce good fruit if we are not grafted and if we are not stayed on the actual vine, who is Christ. So this is what I present today, is the way how we can be able to live and model gospel character. It is by walking in the Spirit. So as we come back again to Galatians 5, he says in verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit. Another version says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The Holy Spirit gives or brings us intimacy with God. He illuminates the Scripture, not because of psychology. There is a lot that we might find these days where we substitute the Word of God and the true Word of God that really turns us, that changes us, and that moves us with what sounds quite correct these days, what sounds very nice. But this is talking about the Word of God that will actually point us to Christ, not point us at being nice, not a bless me, bless you church that just says, okay, we're just going to do something and we're going to jump up and down. And I'm not talking about that Holy Spirit movement that says, well, you will just get here and we will jump up and down, raise our hands and, you know, go crazy, then go home and say, yes, we are following the Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about. And the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about tongues, but I'm talking about the Spirit of God who indwells every believer. That when we received Christ, it was not by us just saying, well, you know what, it kind of makes sense in my mind. I think I'm going to go for this Jesus because it kind of makes sense. No, it's not that way. It is the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes and allows us a glimpse at who God really is. The Bible says he will convict the world, not intellect or intelligence. The world will not figure God out with their own intelligence, but it is the Holy Spirit who allows people to actually understand who God is, who reveals God to us. So that we are children of God, it was revealed to us. Jesus says, blessed are you, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, that I am the Christ, but God revealed it to you. So there is no one who can figure out who God is with their own mind and with their own intelligence and say, well, actually, I think I'm going to come in and I'm going to follow him. So that Spirit of God who was with us at the time that we decided, oh, I understand who God is. That is the Spirit that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the bless me, bless you, crazy, go mental type of thing. But I'm just talking about the God that you know, the God that you and I actually decided we were going to accept into our lives. That same Spirit that helped us, that is the Spirit that we need to continue to be in touch with, to continue to seek, to follow, and to never turn our ears off, to always yearn, to want more of him, to want to listen to what he's saying. Sometimes I might say, well, I'm not sure, I've never really heard the voice of God. But you see, the first thing that we ever heard from God was the revelation that he is Christ and the revelation that we could not save ourselves. If we made that decision, then we took the first step at heeding the word of God. And therefore, if we could understand how he made that revelation in our hearts, then we don't need to hear a very loud, thundering voice, but we just need to follow and trust that in the faith that he gave us, he will continue to guide us. It's not a secret. It's not a puzzle that we have to figure out, but God wants to reveal himself to us. Sometimes he works through us. He glorifies Christ. He guides us through the world, through other people, sometimes through us, guiding other people, sometimes just directly to us. But God will speak to us when he needs to speak to us. Why does he speak to us? Because the reason why we have left the world, the reason why we are still here, is because of modeling the gospel character. It's because of trusting not in justification through the law, but in actually having this grace and following him in that way. The Holy Spirit, he gives us strength. When we can't make sense of the reality that we're facing, when we don't know how to make connections in this world, he is the one who helps us. He intercedes for us. He prays through us. He prays for us. And in this way, he actually helps us. The only time that we actually start going astray is when we start to grieve him, when we don't listen to him. Then we start walking on our own and finding other things to replace the character that he wants to model through us. Then we may start to see ourselves going a little bit astray. So why should we walk in the Spirit? Why is it important for us to walk in the Spirit so that we can actually model this godly character? First of all, he says, we are God's temple. God is holy. We cannot live a holy life of our own. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come down and die. But the reason why Jesus came and died was because no one was found who is holy. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one could attain holiness of their own. So because we couldn't do that, he now saved us and he gave us his Spirit to live in us so that he can show us how to live a holy life. And as we live a holy life, see, we can't live a holy life and then not fulfill the law of Moses. So it is not to say that we are now above the law when we say, okay, now we are not seeking justification through the law. But it is to say that we are living a life that fulfills the law. Our conduct will be such that we are loving each other. We are loving God. If we love God and we love each other, then you see, he says that against such there is no law. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Why is he saying this? Because you see, the law was only given to show us sin and to highlight sin. Now, you don't take a flashlight and try and, you know, point it or try and shine a beam in a very bright place. It's quite redundant. You only need a flashlight because it's dark. So if we already have the light of God and we are already walking with him, we don't have the darkness. And if we don't have the darkness and we're walking in the Spirit, then we are not then going to be depending on the law to start saying, oh, am I doing what is right again? Because when we are loving each other, we are loving God and we are loving neighbors, then we are fulfilling the law. So when we fulfill the law, then we don't need to be under it. Because to be under it means that we have to be careful to observe every last bit of it. And then if we fail, then we will be guilty of it. So he says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. Since I was a child of God 20-something years ago, the one thing that I always learned is that, see, our flesh will always fight. Sometimes you want to pray. I know we've all felt this. Sometimes you want to pray, but you just don't feel like it. Sometimes you want to go to church, and sometimes you just don't feel like it. Until you get up and start acting on it. How many times have you been at home and thought, I don't really feel like going to church today? Because just the thought of it just makes me feel, couldn't I just sit here and be a Christian and just stay in my house and like watch the God channels? But when you actually get up and you get into church and you start worshiping God, you feel, why didn't I want to come here? Why was I being lazy? Because I feel a connection with God. I'm so glad that I actually came. But if I had stayed and listened to my flesh, my mind saying, no, I don't want to go, then I would have never made that step. Why? Because our mind, it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 100 years, as long as we're still on this earth, there is this flesh. My spirit becomes saved, but my flesh is not going to be saved. And my mind will always want something else. Paul says, as a reasonable sacrifice, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Always be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, because we can't actually turn our minds. Paul says, I beat my body to make sure that while I'm preaching the word of God, I myself, who's preaching, do not get rejected. He fights with his own body. So to discipline it, to keep it under. How do we do that? By listening to the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter whether the person that serves the best ever, the best worship singer ever, temptation, sin still tries to get into your mind. But the best way is that we come and we still allow ourselves to walk with Christ. And when we do that, we are able to produce the fruit that the world can see. We are able to have that character that will make God proud, the character that makes God trust us. And that is what we need to model. I'll run through very quickly some scriptures that talking about walking with Christ. Because what is walking in the Spirit? It's not a walk in the clouds, but it's taking every step every day, looking to God. Taking every step and deciding. It's like being a radio station, where one radio station can decide 1 minute to bless God. If you tune it into the right channel, it will be worshiping God. The next minute, if you just need to turn the dial, tune into the wrong station, and the words that will be coming out of it, you'll think, oh, where's the mute button? Because, you know, it's saying all these other things. But it all depends on who are we listening to. Are we listening to our flesh? Are we listening to the world and how the world seeks for us to justify ourselves when it makes sense? Are we listening to philosophies? Are we holding on to other things that are not godly? All these things that Paul talks about when he talks about the acts of the flesh, which are quite obvious. But we can decide to tune ourselves every day, every step of the way. And every step doesn't mean every morning. Every day we can decide to listen to God. And every step means every time you hit a challenge, every time something comes your way that challenges you, you and I have the choice to decide to listen to God and seek His advice and His guidance. So here are some areas in the Bible where they're talking about walking. Ephesians 4, 2-3 says, walk in humility. If you want to write it down, or you can listen to the thing afterwards, then you can look it up. Romans 13:13 says, walk in purity. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, walk in contentment. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, walk in faith and trust. Ephesians 2:10 says, walk in good works. Ephesians 4:17 says, walk differently than the unconverted. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, walk in separation, or be separated. Ephesians 5:2-3 says, walk in love. Ephesians 5:8-9, walk in light. Ephesians 5:15-16, walk in wisdom. Finally, 3 John 3:4 talks about walking in truth. These are the same things that Paul is impressing on us as the acts of the Spirit. We choose to walk in them. We don't ask God to change us while we sit and just raise our hands and pray. But there is a choosing to listen to God. When we choose to listen to God, He says, mortify your members which are in the flesh. Put to death the flesh, because we are risen with Christ. We need to do away with our old ways. Who needs to do away with our old ways? When we attune to the Holy Spirit, we can overcome the temptations, we can overcome the things that entice us to do that which is wrong. But we can only do that successfully if we are attuned to God, if we are read up in the Word of God, not just because we just want to have head knowledge, but that we really want to hungrily seek out the Word and listen to what God is saying to us all the time. One person keeps challenging me all the time, saying, you know, when you read the Word, you don't read the Word because you need to go and preach. You don't read the Word because you need to go and disseminate it. You read the Word because you need to grow. You read the Word because you want to know God. So when we actually read the Word and we seek to have a relationship with God because we want to know Him, He gives us that encouragement, and the encouragement stays within us. When we hit a snag, we are able to overcome it. But we are the ones who need to choose where we look. And we can't start modeling good character to the world only when it comes to it. We need to start on a step by step every day. Listen to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying. As we do that, He will help us to live a life that is holy, because He is holy. Therefore, we can live a life that is also holy. We don't do it by philosophy. We don't do it what the world says, fake it till you make it. That doesn't work. It doesn't work with God. We don't smile and pretend to smile until it feels natural, and then we say, yes, we're doing it now. It's not by force. It's not by our own strength. It comes from inside, because as I said, the Holy Spirit motivates us from the inside. So this is what we need, and this is how God helps us to reach that type of character that He can be proud of. So I hope that we can continue to do what we are doing and continue learning what God is encouraging us to learn and be perfected, all of us. Amen.